Well, I wanted to talk about grace tonight, the God of all grace. And if you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 5:10. It's so funny. I'm actually hearing some pages turn. That actually sounds nice. I'm used to hearing fingers tapping. I'll give you a minute. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I'm going to read it again. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. That's what you're called to. Eternal glory in Christ. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. There will never be a moment that you will not need the grace of God moving in and through your life. And by definition, grace is free and unmerited favor of God. And if you break that down a little more, I like to put it this way. This is Tammy speak after going through some definitions of grace in the Hebrew and also even in the dictionary. Grace is the unmerited favor of God's empowering presence, enabling me to be who he created me to be so that I can do what he has called me to do. When Peter wrote this verse about grace, he wanted to give encouragement to the hurting believers that were going through hard times. As a matter of fact, if you are going through hard times and you want hope and encouragement, I kind of challenge you to read 1 Peter. Just read the whole book because that's what it's there for. And, you know, you get tired when you're standing through hard things. And there's a lot of times where in that you could use some faith, hope, and encouragement. Amen? And as he was writing this, they had been suffering for a while and they needed more grace. And they were trying to kind of overcome fear and panic. And Peter wanted them to know that God was with them, and he wanted them to actually rejoice. Now, when you're going through a hard time and somebody wants to come and do a dance with you, that's just kind of hard, you know? I've been in a service before, bless her heart, this lady, she was trying to encourage this other woman, but this other woman was going through a really hard time, and she just thought she needed to come and dance, and it was one of those really upbeat songs, and she just pulled her up there to dance, and I could just see it all over this woman. She was like, please, why did you touch me? Why did you grab my hand? But she had the right heart about it, right? She just wanted to encourage her, but there's times you just don't feel like dancing. But Peter wanted them to know that, you know something, God still has you, and he is going to use this in your life for his good. He doesn't put things on you. That's just not good theology anyway, all the way around it. But when we do run across hard times, God does help you get through it. And that's what grace is all about. In 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, I'm actually going to read this in the Message Bible. It says, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God is not on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ has experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. I love that. No one enjoys those hard times, but it does give and bring growth when you go through those kind of hard times. T.D. Jakes makes this phrase, this comment, and I just love it. He says, exceptionalism is often incubated in the womb of adversity. And he talked about people that he had known that had gone through really, really hard struggles and came out the other side a lot stronger and doing things they never even thought imaginable or possible. And that got me thinking about people in the Bible that had gone through really hard times and seasons of pain. And how many times in the Bible did we see grace in someone's life bring weakness and all of that to a strength in the Lord and something that they could never do? And so what's so amazing to me about the grace of God is it literally does bring blessings through the pain of something. And we've all experienced that, right? We've all been there and experienced it. Well, one of the stories that I want to go over in the Bible that shows us both sides of God's grace, grace when we haven't seen the answer yet, and on the other side when the answer came, the grace of the Lord in it, and that's the life of Hannah. So if you can turn to 1 Samuel 1. I'm going to read 1 through 8, and then I'm going to drop down 10 through 20. And there was a certain man, and it's so funny. I don't know about y'all, but some of these names I am not going to pronounce correctly. When I read this whole first verse, I was like, seriously, Lord? It's all in this whole first verse. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zebite from the hill country of Ephraim, who was named Elkaniah, I think. I don't know, Lord, I'm sorry. The son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, and the son of Zupah. But he had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Paniah. Paniah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. To worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas and the two sons of Eli were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for them to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Paniah and to all his sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. I'm going to drop down to verse 10. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And as she kept praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving, and her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and my grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the Lord of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. And she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early in the morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Her husband lay with Hannah, so his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. Anna wanted a baby so bad that year after year after year she would come and she would pray. And of course, in Bible times, if you didn't have children, that was a big disgrace and a shame to you. But you know something? I don't think she wanted a baby because it was a disgrace and a shame to her. I think she wanted a baby because it was in her heart. I don't think you pray year after year for something that isn't deep, deep, deep in your heart. Because that's more than just something for other people to look at. That's a desire. And that's a dream. And I believe that God puts dreams and desires in your heart. And sometimes, whether we've prayed for something like a dream, a desire, or we're believing for healing, or we're believing for something that we haven't seen for many, many, many years, how many know when it's really in your heart, you're not going to give up? There's many times you want to give up. There might even be a day or two you don't pray about it, or you're frustrated with it, or you cry about it, but you will keep believing because it's a desire in your heart to see that thing fulfilled, right? But I want you to get something here, because just because she was childless doesn't mean she was graceless. Because God's grace was all over her life, right? When you think about it, she had, even though she was barren, she had a husband who loved her very much. He was also a wealthy man, so she was very well taken care of. And in that, we have to be careful, because if we just focus on the problem sometimes and we're not focused on the things around us that are going well for our life, the enemy can get you ensnared in a trap. And what starts to happen is there's oppression and depression, right? Depression is from the inside out. Oppression is from the outside in. And when we get to a place where hope is deferred and the heart gets sick, it's actually kind of both. Because then not only internally are you having a hard time with something, but then anything external that comes at you is like magnified, right? Very magnified. And the enemy does a really, really good job of trying to keep it so magnified that you are not looking at the other areas that grace is in your life, right? So be careful not to just focus on the problem. I heard a preacher say once, problems will always make you focus on problems. And that is so very true. Instead, ask God to show you the grace that he is pouring out in your life at that moment when you're walking through those kind of times. He is not only working things out for you, but for your good, right? Romans 8:28 says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." He is deeply concerned about us. This is in the Amplified Bible, by the way, that I just read that verse. And I think some of y'all need to put it on your mirror. The lie is he doesn't care. The lie is, where is he? The lie is, why did it happen? And it's just you. And other people are seeing things answered, and you're not seeing anything answered. Those are all lies, right? And I talked before about whenever the enemy comes with multiple lies like that, flip it to get to the truth of what the word says. Get out the word, because 10-1, it's the exact opposite of what he says. If he says you're not healed, no, by your stripes. He went through a whole lot on the cross. That verse, we say it and it becomes so flippant. It just becomes like something that we say, like, have a nice day. But that verse means something. Those stripes meant something. We claim healing because he wanted to give us healing. He endured the cross to give us eternal life. That meant something, right? In standing for faith for something that you haven't seen yet, I talked a little bit about when you're doing that, the enemy loves to continually bring up that topic in different ways. And in Hannah's life, it was Peniah, right? It wasn't just some lady that lived in the same tribe she lived down the street. She was living in the same house with that woman. And Peniah found great joy in showing and telling her about all the children that she had had. Now, we might not have, hopefully we don't have any friends like that in our life, but the enemy does a good job of being that in our life. And I want to, whenever you're in that place where it's constant, have you ever been in that place where it's just constant? It's just like the enemy is constantly, everything, your car breaks down, things happen, you're also believing for something else, somebody gets sick. It's like this constant deluge of just over and over stuff happening, right? Well, I want to challenge you when that happens, because I love what Hannah did. Hannah did not rail about it. She didn't run around the camp. At least we don't think that she did. The Bible doesn't say that she did. She didn't run around saying, you know, Peniah's terrible and horrible, and she has kids, but they just act like this or that and the other, and, you know, they're terrible and blah, 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 blah. And if I had a child, I would never do anything like that. Or she didn't do any of that. What did she do? She prayed. But it said in bitterness she prayed. It's God can take your emotions. He knows already your heart, right? He doesn't want you to become embittered, but he knows it's okay if you're coming to him going, I am frustrated. I don't know if I can take this woman anymore. I don't know if I can contend with it. But it also shows the character of Hannah. And it shows the kind of woman that she was. And it also shows you the prayers that were being incubated in her through this process. Literally, she was being taught to be a prayer warrior. She was literally letting those words that pour out of her heart be entwined in prayers to the Father's heart. And God looks at the heart, not your head, right? So when he's hearing her words and he's hearing her heart, that moves him. What she didn't know is that God did have this plan all set up. And it was actually bigger than just her and her family. It was actually for his people. The gift that she was going to be given was for his people. It was way bigger than just, I just want a baby. And I love that God does things way bigger than what we think or ask. So don't think that there isn't a purpose and plan behind it. Like I said, he does not cause the suffering, but I guarantee you there is a plan behind it. And what he is looking for is those that will come to him, yes, even weary or embittered sometimes, but is that heart and that cry and that I won't give up. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Don't let emotions and frustrations cloud the truth. The truth is that he is the God of all grace and that he will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Because that's exactly what he was doing in Hannah's life. There's a confidence that we can have in approaching the Father when we come to those kind of times in our seasons in our life where we're believing for something. 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." He heard her prayer. Can you even imagine her joy when that baby was born? I mean, we know what that's like. Some of us that have been believing and you've seen something like that happen. In my life, it was my mom, like I had just explained, for breast cancer. It came out of nowhere. Breast cancer does not run in my family absolutely anywhere. It just came out of nowhere. And at that moment, she really sought the Lord because she's like, okay, I need to know, am I going to live or not? You know, and I need a verse to stand on because I'm not going to go through this without knowing what you say. And God gave her a verse to stand on. And it was really sweet. She gave us that verse to stand on. And as we started walking that out with her, it was a couple years of really it was just hell. I'm just going to put it that way. As a matter of fact, there was many times I had a bag in my car that had water and even a change of shoes from work and stuff like that because you never knew if you were going to end up in the emergency room. I can't even tell you how many holidays we spent in the emergency room. Multiple in a couple year period of time. Mike can attest to that. And in all of that time, she never wavered, did she? She stood on that word. Now, I'm not saying there weren't tears. And I'm not saying when you had to shave your hair, that wasn't a hard day. And I'm not saying when chemo and radiation came and you have blisters all over your feet and you're horrible, I'm not saying that that's not a hard day. But I'm saying she didn't give up. And what she didn't realize is that she's walking through that process. We're walking through that with her. And we're watching her, you know, as her kids and as grandkids. Because you don't know sometimes how you walk something out can actually be preaching a message in a sermon to someone else. So keep that in mind, you know. And I'm not saying that you have to try to pretend or be phony in front of people. I'm just saying you never know what that is as a testimony to other people. Because it sure was to us. And walking that through, it was a process. It wasn't an instantaneous healing. So we had to walk that out with her. But now she's whole. She is whole, and she is doing amazing things. Well, then we had a season with my father. Now, that season was a different season, and thank goodness for empowering grace. He also was walking through a lot of hard things with diabetes, and then he had congestive heart failure, and there was just a whole lot of different things. Now, in that, we had to literally go, okay, Lord, he went home to be with you. But the amazing thing about that was he wasn't supposed to live as long as he did. And what I love about that was I really do believe it was the power of God's grace extended to him. Because when he went home to be with the Lord, what's amazing is before that, he had told me, he said, you know, he finally learned how to just be a son of God, which was amazing. And then he said he felt like he was done. He could go home or he could stay here. Well, how sweet to actually feel like you have fulfilled enough here to be ready to go home. And that in itself was a testimony to us kids because I'm like, oh, I want to feel that way. He didn't have anything from the past, or God had just completely taken care of all that. And his funeral was so amazing because we had people saved that day. We had marriages restored that day. We started with a worship service, and I'm not kidding. We started at 7 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, we were finishing, and it didn't even feel like a funeral. It was amazing. I'll never forget. It's the first time I've ever heard angels sing in my life. And I will never, ever forget that moment. It was a powerful moment of God honoring a son. But in both the healing of my mom and both walking that out with my father was God's enabling strength and grace to get us through what we needed to do and to walk with us through everything that we needed to walk out. And the same with Hannah. The Bible says that after that, after she gives the baby back, right? She gives him that day. I'm sorry, that had to be a hard day. I'm sorry. But if you've been praying that long and hard, now God knew her heart, and he knew when she said, I'm going to give this back to you. He knew she meant it. And so when Samuel was born, and she brought Samuel to the house of the Lord for the first time, I love a little bit back farther than that. Her husband comes to her, and he says, you know, is it time? We're going to bring the baby to the house of the Lord. And at that point, she says, no, I'm going to wait till he's weaned first. And I love that because I would be like that too. No, let's wait till he's walking. No, let's wait till he's, you know, let's kind of prolong this. And I knew God probably was smiling when she said that, right? Because he knows. But that baby came to the temple. And what's so sweet about that is the Bible says the Lord was gracious to her and gave her 3 more sons and 2 daughters. I love that. She gave him the one and he gave her 5, which is the number of grace. That's not an accident. I mean, that's the kind of God that we serve. In 1 Samuel 2:1, she says, well, actually, I'm going to read it. It's a beautiful prayer, and if you have time to go back and read that, she just starts praying to the Lord after she gives her baby back to him. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. Horn there means strength. So my strength is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? She didn't let panic set in of that we know of, that maybe she wasn't going to get the gift that she was praying for. But she stood strong, and what an intercessor that she actually became because of standing strong. And when God put this on my heart, he put it on my heart because we're all believing for something amazing in our lives. And I know that there are many of you that are believing for sons and daughters that aren't yet, or were walking with the Lord and walked away from the Lord, or aren't yet walking with the Lord. And I really felt like tonight that we were supposed to pray for those wayward sons and daughters. And I really felt to encourage you, to tell you that God's enabling grace is going to enable you to stand for what you're believing for, whether it's a son and daughter or something else in your life. God hears every prayer of your heart. He has not missed one. The Bible says he captures our tears. You mean the world to him. He gave up everything to come here. He gave up everything for you. His plan and his purpose for you was before you were even born. He knows your heart for your kids. He knows your heart for that dream in your heart. And if he put that dream in your heart, do you think he doesn't know how to fulfill that dream? You know, we get impatient when it comes to our dreams. And if we haven't seen anything, we think we need to help it along sometimes. Now, there's a difference between helping it along and then absolutely sitting and doing nothing and waiting for God to fall on you, right? And I've shared that before. If you know that you're supposed to sing and you have a gift and a call on your life to sing, if you never practiced and you never prepared yourself to do anything, the chances of you having an opportunity to sing are going to be pretty little, right? At the same time, if you know that it's your gift to sing, and you know that's what God called you to do, and you're sowing in a good field, and you haven't quite seen everything that the Lord wants to do in your life yet, so you try to figure out, okay, maybe if I go here, and I talk to this person, or maybe if I go over there, well, I think the Holy Ghost is over there, and that's really my style over here, so I'm going to go over here, because if I talk to them, then the doors are going to open for me, because you're looking for that one person to open the door to get you to your destiny. That's when it gets mucked up. That's when things get a little estranged. Because, yes, God moves in the speed of relationship. I believe that. But there's a difference in when God brings somebody across your pathway or when you are literally pushing down the door on other people to try to get a leg up on them. That's not God. God knows the desire of your heart. He knows it. And you know, no matter how many times we blow it, he'll take us and put us right back on course for that destiny. I promise you. I promise you. I don't care if you hadn't walked in your destiny and you got saved when you were 71 years old. I promise you, God will put you right in line for your destiny. Because that's the kind of father he is. He loves you. He knows you inside and out. And he knows exactly how to talk with you and how to speak with you. And if you are in that place where you feel like that anxiousness about what he has and how come it's not happening yet, if you are in that place, anxiety is not of the Lord. Being anxious for nothing, the Bible says. So if you feel that kind of thing, or like almost a panic, it might not happen, don't panic. That's just the enemy. Let that go. Your God will put you in the path of the right people at the right place at the right time to do what he wants to do. In the meantime, serve well. Be faithful. Honor where you are. Honor the houses, the church that you're in. Let God work out everything else and sow in a good field. And then he'll bring up the fruit. He'll do it. He is so good at it, y'all. He is so good at it. But can we stand? And Katie and Laura, if the Lord shows you anything, who is believing for sons and daughters that is either believing for them because they've walked away from the Lord or they're not saved yet? Can you come up here if you are? Amen and amen. There is this amazing thing that God does with kids. He knows how to reach them when we don't know how. He's amazing at it. He knows exactly who to put in their pathway, and he will not stop until they come home. And on our prayers, oh my goodness, on a mama's prayers, y'all, and on a daddy's prayers, there's nothing like them. There is nothing like them. There is right now an assault on the young people, because right now they're supposed to do mighty, mighty things and be walking in it. In our United States, not just in Africa somewhere, but here, in our United States of America. And it's been interesting to me between the ages of, and I'm not saying that it's just this age, but lately what keeps coming to me is between the ages of 18 and 30 years old, I cannot tell you how many parents have told me that their kids aren't walking with the Lord. And what's interesting about that is a lot of these people are dealing with depression, oppression, anxiety. Most of them are taking pills for it. Some of them can't hold jobs. Some of them are in their bedrooms of their parents' house because they don't even know what to do with them. Some of them have seen counselors. It makes me angry. And I was so pouring out my heart to the Lord about this because I'm like, Father God, I know that that's an age that you are going to use mightily on this planet. I know it. And I know it's an assault. And like I said, I know God wants to use every age. I'm just sharing this because I'm about to share a dream I had. And that night when I went to bed, I had this dream. And in this dream, I saw this, strong. The only thing I can think of is it had to be what John the Baptist looked like in my mind. He was big. He was ornery. Cantankerous. And I was praying for him. And he kept saying, I'm not going to come. 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 And I just kept praying over him. I was so not moved. And when he got louder, I just kept praying louder. I don't remember what I was praying, but I just kept praying louder. Didn't move my stance. And the more that I prayed, the more that I saw him start to fall. But as he started to fall, he started to change. And when he changed and he hit the ground, he was no longer this cantankerous, wild-eyed thing. But he was a very strong warrior for the Lord. I'm talking like no fear. I'm talking like if God told me today to go to Mexico, I'm going to Mexico. They don't have regular jobs. They are actually moving with the Holy Spirit, doing what he tells them to do. And there was an army of them. And it was so striking because I had never seen love like this pour out of eyes like these. It was like the exact opposite of what he was before. But the love was like not a wimpy love. It was very strong in nature. And it was powerful. And as it looked, it swept and would change things as they looked. As they looked, things would start to change. And they weren't moved by wars around them. They weren't moved by what people did around them. I saw them in big cities. I saw them in deserts. I saw them in all these different places, and they were so not moved. And I woke up, and I was in tears when I woke up. And I am not doing a good job of portraying this, but it was so, so big in me. I just started crying because I'm like, Father God, that's who they're supposed to be. They are going to be such warriors for you that nothing is going to hold them back. Nothing will hold them back. And I am believing that. And do any of you, is that age group, any of your children that you're believing for? A couple of you? I'm telling you right now, God's got them. And he will not. The more that they said no, the more that it was just being prayed over and over and over and over and over. And the more the no came, the louder the prayer got. And God was doing it. He did it. He did it. I didn't touch them. And in the dream, I just felt that was significant. I didn't have to do it. God did it. God was doing it. And he was moving on their behalf. And for all of you that are here believing for kids that are not saved yet, God is going to do it. He is able to do it. There is a sound, and that sound has gone out because it is time. It is time. Father God, we thank you for those that are believing for kids right now. We thank you, Father God, because we just call them home. We just call them home. Father God, we thank you for your voice and that sound that is going to go out through the earth and that is going to call them home. And Father God, just like Hannah, we are not going to stop. We are going to continually pray, Father God, until we see them walking, Father God, for you on this planet and in this day. Father God, we are going to continually come to you, and we are going to continually pray for them, and we are going to continually believe, because your grace is going to empower us to stand when we don't see a reason to. Your grace, Father God, no matter what we see with our eyes, Father God, we are going to lean deep. We're going to lean deep into you and into your word. And Father, we thank you that no weapon formed against them will prosper. We thank you that, Father God, no drug, no alcohol, no lasciviousness, no anything else, Father God, will take them in Jesus' name. We thank you right now that we put a hedge around them. We mark them for you. Father, we mark them in the spirit for you, Father God. We in the spirit can just put anointing oil on their head and say, you are God's. We thank you that Samuel means the God that hears. You are the God that hears. And I thank you in Jesus' name that you are going to hear our prayers. And Father, we are going to stand strong and mighty, knowing what you have for them to do, Father God. Knowing what you have for them to do. I thank you and I praise you for every heart here. And I thank you and I praise you that, Father God, you are going to give them courage and that you are going to give them hope. And Father, I thank you that we as a body stand with them. We stand with them and we stand for them, Father God. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Yes, we thank you for that. I feel to just, yes, continue to do that. I just feel to say thank you in advance, God. By faith, Father God. And all it takes is a mustard seed. If that's all you have, it's okay. That's all it takes, Father God. We thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Katie, are you feeling anything?
I just felt to tell you that I was one of those kids, and my mom actually prayed me in. So just to encourage you, from 21 to 25, I was completely gone. And I had a very marked life before then. And God actually showed up in my apartment one night when I was completely not walking with him at all. And he'll come if he wants to. He'll come. And he literally just showed up into my apartment. And he just looked at me and said, are you done? Are you done? And I was like, I guess so. But I had tried everything I could to be happy without him. And that's what it took for me to know that I could only be happy with him. that there was only joy found in him. And sometimes that's the path that we have to take in order for us to truly, truly come to a place of understanding for ourselves. Not our parents' understanding, not our siblings' understanding, our understanding. And I'll tell you what it did for me is it made me relatable and understand, like be able to have an empathy level and understanding level for those people that did not know the Lord. Because I had never experienced that before. So God will make all things good. Just be encouraged, and he will accelerate their path. I mean, I might have lost 5 years, but he accelerated the rest of it. And he'll bring them back in. Don't worry. Don't fear. And I just really felt while I was sitting there praying, really take communion on behalf. You still have authority over your family. So really take communion on behalf of your children that are still lost and plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. It is so powerful to plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is enough. The blood of Jesus is enough. The blood of Jesus is enough. I pray it over. I still have family members not saved. I pray it over them every single night. Whenever you feel that, just take that communion and plead the blood.
Well, we're going to continue to stand with you. And we're not going to back down. We're believing God for big things. Big, big things. And unless you have anything else, that's really all I had. And I know it's kind of a short night. But God is amazing, y'all. And I know, you know, we're standing for big things in this house, too. And I have no doubt that God has that covered. I have no doubt. And you all don't know this. Maybe they do. But you all were prayed here. You were prayed in. And we're excited. And we love y'all. You have pastors that really pray for you, not just in words, but they really do. And this one loves you very much. And she prays for you too. Can we go ahead and stand up?
Just going along with what Katie said, I was like that too, only the opposite happened for me is he started to open my eyes to the darkness to where I was at, and it just slowly started happening, and I'd be in a big nightclub, and suddenly I'd just start seeing these beings that are not very attractive, let me tell you, around and on people and things, and it just started happening more and more. And it just took me to the feet of Jesus. He comes in so many ways. He comes and speaks to your kids in ways, even if people aren't around. Usually what happens is there's a whole lineup of people. I didn't even have that either. But it was just my own revelation that started happening. I started moving into more new agey beliefs, and you know, and plus you're young, you know, of course you go out to clubs and you know, do all this stuff. You know, that's just reality. I'm talking about that's how you think, you know, at that age. That's just what you do in Southern California. That's what you do. And the Lord just showed me, yeah, not a good place. Not so good. So I just want to encourage you where you just like, who's going to go to him? Send, you know, you can ask the Lord, send somebody. Yes, go ahead, send somebody. But it came for me in the revelation of what truth I was walking in, which was not so good. What's not a good truth. And he came to me in dreams and started speaking to me between what is of light and what is of darkness. And so if you don't even see the fruit yet, I came up tonight to stand for my brother who went into full, he's into an Eastern religion, who used to be a Christian, and I could tell by questions he's asking now that I think, and he's full on, I mean, he goes to their satsangy meetings, he's kind of a leader and all this stuff, I could tell. It's happening. Something's going on with him. So it's just, but it's been years and years. It's been, what, like 30 years? So Anyways, I just want to encourage you in all that. Yeah, don't give up.
Okay. I just, go ahead and stand up. I just feel to say, don't stop. No matter what you see, do not stop. And if you need encouragement, come find me. And I will encourage you and pray with you. Because I'm believing with you. I am believing with you. I have seen what they look like. And it's amazing. And it is powerful. And we'll see it, as David says, in the land of the living. We're not going to wait for some day. We're going to see it on this planet. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Father, we thank you for the words tonight. We thank you that, Father God, anything of me falls away. Everything of you stays. I thank you that we have joined together as in a body. And I thank you that we are going to stand strong and believe the word. And I thank you that we are going to start hearing testimonies of what you're doing in the lives of those that we've been believing for. And I thank you for that. Protect everyone on their way home and bless them greatly, Father God. Let them all have sweet, sweet sleep tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.